Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It has been my distinct pleasure over the past year or two, as I have had the chance to appear weekly on the Breitbart radio program, to interact with the sometime host of that show and the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News London, Rahim Kassam. In our conversations, I have found him to be extraordinarily thoughtful and articulate and courageous, particularly with respect to the phenomenon that I think is best described, as Andy McCarthy calls it, of Sharia supremacism. He knows something of all of this by virtue not only of his experience in the United Kingdom, which is awash with it these days, but also by virtue of his family background, which is a Muslim background. These days, in addition to being the editor-in-chief of Breitbart News London, Rahim is the Shulman Ginsberg Writing Fellow at the Middle East Forum and a senior distinguished fellow at the Gatestone Institute. But he comes to us today for a full hour of conversation, I'm very pleased to say, in connection with the publication of his new book entitled No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Rahim Kassam, thank you so much for taking an hour with us. It's so good to talk with you. Our roles are slightly reversed today, but it's a pleasure to be with you as always.
We'll soon put that right, Frank.
Terrific. Listen, let's start off this conversation with a little level setting, please, on what no-go zones are, of course. But perhaps we could start with the fact that they are a symptom, a manifestation of this larger problem. I don't know if you agree with the term Sharia supremacism or have an alternative that you prefer, but could you talk about this in that kind of context, and then we'll drill down on what these things are?
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly subscribe to the phrase Sharia supremacism. It's one of those phrases that you don't get these coming up very often, and it's a stroke of genius on Andy McCarthy's behalf to so succinctly describe the problem that we face. We've dabbled in all sorts of phrases and words over years. There have been creeping Sharia and radical Islamism and radical Islam, and we dance around this because we're forced to, effectively, by our opponents in the media and by our opponents in radical Islam. They sort of put us on the back foot. And I think once we find a phrase so brilliant and so, for me, brevity is the grandfather of clarity. And that's what this phrase is. Sharia supremacism sums it up just right. This is a doctrine, a cultural thing. It's a religious thing. It's all of these things in one. But what they do is they hold themselves above our culture, above any other religion. And so, the left wants to play these games with white supremacy and all of this nonsense. Well, it's our turn to throw it straight back at them. Sharia supremacy is a thing, and you're seeing it in neighborhoods all across the Western world at the moment.
Well, let's drill down on that. Of course, that's what I want to most get into with you. But just to stay with this idea for a moment, you say we've been dancing around, what to call it. This was on very much sharp display, as your colleague at Breitbart, Aaron Klein, pointed out yesterday. As the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, the Secretary of Defense, and the Attorney General, all in separate remarks on the occasion of the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in 2001, failed to talk about these threats, these jihadists, these Sharia supremacists, in any of those terms, not even the terms that the president himself repeatedly said in the course of the campaign was what he thought these guys should be called, namely radical Islamic terrorists. What did you make of that, Rahim?
Well, my blood pressure has been up ever since watching all of those things yesterday. I really mean it. I was on Fox News last night talking about this very same thing. I had 3 hours on the radio this morning talking about this too. And you know, I really had the bit between my teeth on this because you didn't just have, it wasn't just the same sort of offense that we took when Barack Obama refused to say it or when Hillary Clinton refused to say it. It's actually worse than when they weren't saying it, because you had somebody who effectively in part got elected on the basis of pointing that out, that other people wouldn't say it, that liberals wouldn't say it, that Democrats wouldn't say it. He, the president, and all the people around him spent so much time honing in on that issue, and he is on record in so many places on so many occasions as having said, if you cannot name your enemy, you cannot fight it. And they refused to name the enemy yesterday. And here's the thing, a lot of people will say, but you know, it was 9/11, and therefore is a little bit more of a you know, a solemn occasion. It wasn't the time for that. Well, firstly, if you look back through the president's Twitter feed from previous 9/11s, he has never held to this solemnity on 9/11. So why start now? He's never been somebody who holds to tradition. So why start now? And also, if you look at the fact that it wasn't just him and it wasn't just his speech, it was the vice president's speech, it was the attorney general's speech, it was General Mattis's speech, and there was no tweet and there was no statement from the White House. So it was intentional. You know, if there had been a tweet or a statement from the White House that contained the words radical Islam, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. We're not that pedantic. But it was intentionally left out of every single place.
It was left out all over the place. And there was in particular, and I want to draw you out because it's again part of the context in which we're talking about really willful blindness at best to this phenomenon of Sharia supremacism in our midst. And that is the term that Jim Mattis used. He called them, as you know, and I'm sure you've been ranting about this a lot, as have I, maniacs disguised in false religious garb. Rahim, as a former Muslim, you probably have an appreciation greater than most of us about the authenticity of the religious garb, not in a physical sense, but in a figurative sense. But are these people who are using jihadist techniques, including but not exclusively violent ones, to force us to submit to their supremacism in some false religious garb?
No, not at all. And this is exactly what I said on Fox News last night. They asked me, you know, what do you think of General Mattis? And I said, I want to see his Islamic theology PhD. This is a complete nonsense. And you said it, you know, like this is an omission. Actually, this is willful deception now that we're experiencing from this administration. And he chose to say the words false religious garb, when we know full well that in the very next line that President Obama was so keen on quoting from the Quran, whomsoever takes the life of all mankind, whomsoever saves the life of all mankind. We know the very next line says that, except for the person causing mischief against Islam, in which case cut his left hand and his right foot off. And it's willful deception. It was willful deception in Cairo. It was willful deception after San Bernardino. And unfortunately, it was willful deception on 9/11 this week.
Yeah, I fear you're right. Rahim, there's so much to explore on this. I do want to just make a point before we get into the meat of this question of these no-go zones, that unfortunately, as you know, when you see people behaving this way, these Sharia supremacists don't read that as, you know, a nicety or as diversity sensitivity or multiculturalism or political correctness. They think of it, as I understand it, as submission. And again, citing to the Quran, you know, what you're supposed to do when you see the kufr, the infidel, submitting, of course, is make them feel subdued. This is a topic we'll turn back to in a moment with Rahim Kassam, the author of a terrific new book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. We'll get into how that's actually working in practice in Europe and here, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.